Hello everyone, I am Bhikkhu Dhammananda. I am a Buddhist monk and today I want to give another talk about meditation. And as I've stated last time, this time I want to talk about the meditation on the four elements. Now to begin with, if you want to talk about the meditation on the four elements, maybe the first thing that we have to clarify is what are the four elements and what is the benefit of knowing about them? And then we can go more into the details of how to meditate on them. So the four elements are earth, water, fire and air. And the most important thing to realize about these is that they do not primarily refer to the earth under your feet or a fire that you might sit in front of or the air that you breathe in or out. Rather, when we talk about the earth element, we mean by that the qualities of solidity, of weight, as well as of concrete form and shape. Whenever we talk about the water element, we mean by that the qualities of liquidity, of depth, of wetness, as well as at least to some degree the quality of translucency. When we talk about the fire element, we mean by that the qualities of heat, of radiation, and of light. While lastly, when we are talking about the air element, we mean by that the qualities of movement, of fluctuation or change, as well as of subtlety. Now, any person who might be reasonably awake might have noticed that these qualities are fairly easy to perceive. And that is precisely why the four elements are a very suitable subject for meditation. Now, the words are very easy to remember, the qualities are easy to perceive, and on a deeper level, the four elements are also a very all-encompassing subject. In that, in a natural setting, basically wherever you look, now whatever you perceive, fits quite nicely into one of these categories, so that you will not easily get confused as to what you're perceiving, how it relates to your meditation subject. Now this leads us to another consideration about the four elements, which is that traditionally the four elements have been prescribed to an intelligent person. Now, the ancients divided people according to different temperaments. Now, there was another deluded person, the greedy person, a person who is easily irritable, a devotional person, and so on. And to each of these different temperaments, ancient teachers would prescribe a different kind of meditation subject. And the meditation subject of the four elements has been traditionally prescribed to an intelligent person. Now, having clarified that, let us explore how to meditate on them. So, as with any other meditation subject, first you should find a place that is reasonably quiet and in which you feel safe. And then you should sit down in a position, in a way that you both can relax as well as be alert. So a couch might not be the ideal place to meditate, because maybe you will not be very alert on a couch. But a chair or on the floor, on a cushion, these are maybe ideal. Then once you found a good position to meditate in, if you have developed some confidence or some inspiration in the four elements, you might start by reciting the name of the elements for some time, like earth, water, fire, air. Earth, water, fire, air. Earth, water, fire, air. Now you can adjust the speed of that recitation, which you can do either verbally or just in your mind, according to the condition of your mind. So if you want to calm your mind more, you can speak them or think of them more slowly. While if you want to make your mind more alert, you can recite them more quickly. So, and after you have done that for some time, when your mind has settled a bit more and has more spaciousness, you might try to transform this practice into something more akin to a prayer. For example, you could think of or speak something like that. Earth, water, fire, air, may their wisdom become revealed to me. Earth, water, fire, air, may I attain what can be attained by the help of these. Something like that. As I've stated before, the four elements are a meditation subject for an intelligent person. So you have to find something that resonates with you. And now you do that to specialize your mind still more. Now you slowly program your mind and tell the deeper layers of your mind what you want to know about, now what you are meditating about. So, but now when you have done that for some time, when your mind becomes still more spacious and more centered, you can begin with first letting your mind a little bit off the leash. Meaning, wherever your mind wants to go, whatever catches the attention naturally of your mind, you may allow your mind to go there, but then you try to figure out how whatever you are experiencing or perceiving relates to one of the four elements. So, for instance, if there's a loud sound, if it's a very concrete and distinct sound, you can decide now this is the earth element. Similarly, the weight of your body, you can decide, okay, this is the earth element. And one important thing about that to realize is it is not just earth element. Now, this is very important to understand. This is not about dispassion. Now, dispassion comes much later. This is about developing inspiration and interest and motivation in relation to the four elements. So even if you're experiencing something that is not very interesting, dull, or even unpleasant, it's not just earth element or just fire element, etc. Better to think, hooray, I found an example of the earth element. Hooray, I found an example of the water element, etc. Now this will be the right mindset in relation to your experience and in relation to the four elements. So similarly, if you're experiencing maybe the sweat on your forehead, or you hear the rain outside, or you perceive some kind of manifestation of liquidity or depth in your body, you decide, okay, this is water element. If you're become aware of the heat of the cushion that you're sitting on, the heat under your buttock, or the heat of the environment, or some light is hitting your eyelids, now these are all manifestations of the fire element. And now lastly, if you perceive either some breeze is going through the room, or you perceive some movement in your body, or you perceive your in-breath and out-breath, you decide, okay, this is air element. Now, about the breathing, it is especially very important to realize. If you have practiced anapana, if you have practiced meditation on breathing for some prolonged period of time, and now you wanted to try something else because you did not went very far with the breathing meditation or just out of curiosity, if you started meditating on the four elements and suddenly your breathing becomes very agreeable to you, your breathing becomes very clear and you find that you can easily follow your breathing, stay with that. Don't break that old habit. Now you can practice mindfulness of breathing the whole four elements meditation session. This is no problem. If a meditation goes very well, always stay with it. Now don't be confused by too elaborate instructions. Now what you want is to develop a heaven in yourself. Now you want to develop some sustainment of meditation. So, and if something goes smoothly in your meditation, just stay with it. Don't get too confused about is it now for elements or not. You can decide that afterwards and you can continue with your discernment of the four elements when your breathing becomes again quite unnatural or you're getting stuck with it. Now, about being stuck is another important point. Usually your mind will not be interested for a very prolonged period of time about anything. So what you have to do in order to keep your mind interested is keep it busy. And for that you may apply another technique, which is scanning of your body. Now, whenever your mind gets bored or doesn't have the spaciousness needed in order to distinguish the four elements, or when it is not clear, etc., what you should do, place your attention on the top of your head, move it maybe to the cheeks, to the back of your head, the throat, the neck, the chest and abdomen, the upper back, the lower back, the right arm, the right hand, the left arm, the left hand, the right leg, the left leg, the right foot, the left foot, etc. Now you can learn to move your mind through your body. And this is again a whole new skill altogether. Now you have to figure out how fast you have to move your mind. You have to figure out how big the size you want to investigate or apply your mind to. So, and now you do that until you again have some realization of, this experience is an example of the air element or of the fire element, etc. And if you can think deeper, you can really, you can make new discoveries about the speed of light or whatever. You can go really deeply into any of the elements and you can have very deep insights about the nature of these elements. Now when your mind deepens. So, and you also don't have to go in order necessarily with your mind. Now when you scan your body, you can start wherever was the last place you paid attention to. Now you become aware of something in your body and you realize this is one particular element and you might have some insight. And then you notice slowly your mind becomes a little bit dull and bored. So you can just take either the opposite side of your body or you can take just a nearby patch of your body, a nearby part of your body and begin scanning from there on. So now this is like playing an instrument or it's really a skill that you have to work on for a long time. And when you do that, in the first instance, ideally, you might gain deep insights about the four elements. But beyond that, if you do this for a prolonged period of time, you might get glimpses or experiences of the more superior aspect of the four elements. Now, each of these four elements can manifest in very superior forms. For instance, you might notice that your body starts becoming very firm in a pleasant way, and you feel very strong and healthy and confident. And especially if you're a person who habitually is not very strong, if you're a person who is easily pushed around by people, who is not very confident, who is not very decisive in life, and if you have realized that to be a great weakness of yourself, then if you have such experience of your body becoming very solid and you're becoming very strong and confident, this can be really a life-changing experience. And in such case, I really would recommend you to, in the first instance, keep a meditation diary and write positive experiences down. And secondly, when you're next time meditating on the four elements, you don't need to start off with earth, water, fire, air, may their wisdom become evident to me, and so etc. You might start off by reciting something like earth, water, fire, air, may they lead me to higher experiences of myself, may they lead me to my greater potential, something like that. Or you can just meditate on the earth element, like earth, confidence, stability, firmness, confidence, stability, firmness, something like that. So now, if you have really gained some deep experiences in meditation, don't think too much about this is impermanent, etc. Now, of course, you should remember the basics of Buddhism, the basics of how reality works, that this is impermanent, and you won't be always like that. But you should also use the power of your memory and the power of positive conditioning. So if you realize that there's a great potential in yourself, which you haven't seen before, then think about the benefits of what could happen with your life if you are able to regain such experience and master such experience. So this will be the better attitude about that. Then similarly with the water element. Maybe you are a person who has read a little bit about Buddhism, and you have read a little bit about spirituality, and you have heard that a good Buddhist should have compassion towards all people and towards all beings, and a spiritual practitioner should have empathy, and so on. And you might have felt, okay, sounds reasonable, but still you always felt, no, you are your body, you are you, and other people are them, and there's a big distance between you and them, and you cannot feel what other people feel, and so you usually don't feel genuine compassion. And then you might have an experience where slowly you perceive how the solidity in yourself begins to dissolve, and it gives way to some depth inside yourself, and you might begin to feel how you kind of begin to merge with your environment. And especially if you are able to gain such experiences also outside of meditation and beyond meditation, which ultimately you should try to have, you might begin to see that, you know, whenever your attention goes somewhere, some part of your feeling also begins to go there. And now you see people, now you see a person suffering, and you suddenly you feel, you know how that person feels. Now how that person feels is reflected in yourself. Or you see a person joyful or successful, and you feel how they feel. And now you begin to feel how other people feel and how other beings feel. And now you notice that every person that you are interacting with, every person that you perceiving, can give you this enormous increase in mental life. Now you see somebody suffer and your mental life becomes richer. You see somebody joyful or successful and your mental life becomes richer. So now you develop this gratitude towards other people and other beings, that now basically every being you are coming in contact with can be a source of a much richer mental life. And this equally can be a life-changing experience. And now, for some people it is an exploration or discovery of an entirely new dimension of life. So most people who have such experiences and who have this kind of sensitivity, they would not exchange it for more carelessness or for less feeling, even though sometimes it can be rather overwhelming if you always feel what other people feel. Still, it is a manifestation of a much richer mental life. So similarly with the fire element, if you meditate for a long period of time, sometimes you may begin to perceive some light inside yourself. And usually this comes first just as flashes. But if your meditation improves, now with time you might be able to have this light for a longer duration. And you might be able to move it around, and you might be able to change its color, and you may be able to increase its size and narrow down its size, etc. And now this alone can be a lot of fun if you can do that. But there's also some utility to this, because the light can reveal hidden things. Things that are hidden without light. So you might begin to notice that, you know, if you direct your mind together with this light somewhere, you might be able to gain perceptions of what might be there. Now in the first instance, I would highly discourage anyone to immediately try to see ghosts or angels around, even though this is the path in that direction. But there are not so many people who actually can see ghosts and angels. So, but there is a gradual training to get further in that direction. So, but a better idea usually is to start with small things. So you might stretch out your hand in front of you, and you might direct your attention there, and you can try if you can perceive what's in your hand, and whether you can get a perception of how the bones in your hand look like, or, you know, the flesh and the arteries. And yes, much of it will be just imagination, but this is the first step, developing a rich imagination is the first step in that direction. And only later there might come glimpses amongst these imaginations of something more real. So similarly, you know, if you're meditating with other people, then you can try to direct your attention on other people, and you can try if you can perceive their internal organs, their skeleton, their brain, their heart, and so on, and whether you can improve the accuracy or likelihood of accuracy of these imaginations. And if there are no people around, you can try the same with animals. Maybe there are some ants walking across the floor, and you can try whether you can project your mind inside them and perceive how it might look inside of them. Or you can do the same with plants. You can try if you perceive how it looks inside plants. And if you get some success with the sort of visualizing or perceiving static things like bodily organs and so on, if you can do that, then you can increase the difficulty and you can try to perceive whether you can perceive processes. For instance, inside your own body or other people's bodies, you might perceive how after we have eaten something, there's some food in our stomach and that gets broken down by the stomach acid and the nutriment or energy enters the bloodstream, and that energy is feeding the different organs of the body, and that feeds the heart. The heart pumps the blood around in our body. It pumps some blood and energy to the brain, and then all sorts of incredible processes happen in the brain. So you can try how much of such things you can perceive. Or with plants, most people have learned in their biology classes that how the tree draws out nutriment and water from the ground and is pushing these up to the leaves. And because of this, the leaves can grow, and the leaves also take in carbon dioxide and sunlight and transform these into oxygen, etc. There are many interesting processes happening in there if you pay attention to these things. So, and this will be still much easier to do than perceiving ghosts or directing your mind somewhere to the other side of the globe and perceiving what some terrorist is doing in an underground bunker, or what your family is doing now. Usually these are a better thing to start with. And maybe just to put this on a more solid ground, actually many people have such experiences that maybe, for instance, you might have a car and one day your car ceases to function properly. It's still, you still can drive it, but something is wrong with it. Sometimes it's, you can't get it on, or you have to try many times. And so you go into, you drive into a repair shop. And perhaps some mechanics really can do that. There are such mechanics. They might just go into your car, start, and just by the sound of your engine, they can tell what is wrong with your car, and then they can fix it. Not just by the sound of the engine, many complex images might arise in their mind of how an engine works and what is wrong with this car. When for yourself, your engine sounded just like it always did, just a monotonous, unpleasant noise. So the principle is the same. That person has light inside himself. That's why he can perceive what is hidden. Even though that person might not articulate it in this manner. Especially in Western culture, where people don't so often talk about this kind of thing. Or another example would be a doctor. Some doctor, just he looks into your eyes, he looks onto your tongue, and then he can know that your liver is enlarged or your blood is unclean, etc. This is equally because of the light within that doctor. He can gain deep perceptions of how your body works based on a few small signs. And some can even do that just by taking the pulse. Now, there are people, and I've met people who went to people like that. Now, they just take the pulse of you, and then they can know all sorts of things about your body and about your health that you would wonder how they can figure that out just by feeling your pulse. So this is just for making this a little bit more grounded in daily life, we can say. Then there's another way of experiencing a superior aspect of the fire element, which is, some people have heard about it. The Tibetans, they developed this technique called Tummo, wherein a yogi can highly increase the fire element inside their body to a degree that a person might soak a thick woolen blanket in ice water and then throw it over that yogi, and immediately you see steam coming up from that blanket. And within a very short period of time, they can dry that blanket just by their body heat in a cold environment. So this is another way of making use of the fire element in a kind of superior manner. So that much about the fire element. Lastly, let us look at the air element. Now, in the first instance, even just being able to stay with the breathing, with the process of breathing for some prolonged period of time, can be a very blissful experience. It can be even a life-changing experience. And it can be an experience which can teach you a lot about synchronicity. It can teach you a lot about how to be more in tune with life, how to let go and move forward in life. It can teach you a lot about these kind of things, and hence can really improve your life. But deeper than that, if you are able to stay with your breathing for some prolonged period of time, this air element at your nose will slowly spread throughout your body, and you may get experiences of feeling very light. You might actually feel like as if you're levitating. I never met a person who actually can levitate, but even to just feel like you're so light that it is as if you're floating in the air, that can be very incredible experience. And if you are able to have these kind of experiences outside your meditation or beyond your meditation sitting, you might be able to walk for very long distances without feeling tired because your body feels very light. You might be able to work very effectively and very fast because of this lightness inside yourself. So now this can be a very powerful experience. And it again can teach you a lot about your own potential, and that you don't need many things in life, that it is more helpful to really cultivate this higher potential that is within yourself. But on a still deeper level, as I've stated in the beginning, one aspect of the air element is subtlety. So now when you're meditating on the air element inside your body, that air element can lead you towards greater and greater degrees of subtlety. And then you might begin to touch upon what in different cultures have been given different names. The Chinese call it the qi, the Indians call it the prana. and the different cultures had different names for it, which is this subtle energy flow inside your body, and which flows through particular channels inside your body. And there are particular centers in your body wherein larger portions of this energy is accumulating and is moving like in a vortex. And these are called the chakras. So, and these different chakras have different powers, different characteristics to them, and they can give certain powers to the mind. If you understand how to work with them, and if you understand how to lead intentionally the energy from the lower chakras up to the higher chakras. Now, I don't want to talk much more about the chakras. I've written various articles about the chakras. I've written a small essay about them. And I also have written a small booklet about the four elements. And I've written about many of these topics that I've talked about today in my main book, Paramatta. And all these can be found and downloaded under higher-mindart.info if anyone is interested in it. And I think this might be enough for today. So I hope some people have benefited from this talk. And Namo Buddhaya.